Every single day, you probably scroll past like hundreds of images of real horrific human tragedy without even blinking.
Yeah, it just becomes background noise.
Exactly. It's the background noise of the internet. We all flick through this relentless, I mean, just numbing stream of breaking news and climate disasters and global trauma over our morning coffee.
Right. We are totally desensitized to it.
So why did a completely fabricated, you know, digitally painted image of an exhausted child floating on a water buffalo make the art world stop dead in its tracks?
Well, I think it creates this immediate, profound psychological dissonance
mm-hmm.
because you are looking at this undeniably tender embrace between a human and an animal, right? But the underlying premise of the scene is catastrophic.
Yeah, it's like it reaches out from the screen and actually demands your attention.
It really does.
And that stopping power is exactly our focus today. We are taking a deep dive into a 2023 piece of digital artwork titled Angustia, which translates to anguish.
Such a powerful title.
It really is. It was created by the artist Jero Duque. And our mission today isn't just to describe a striking picture to you. We are examining a very intense critical debate surrounding this specific piece.
Right, to figure out how the actual tools used to create art fundamentally alter its emotional impact.
Exactly. We are looking at how digital software, and in this case Procreate specifically, shapes our psychological connection to human suffering.
And the source material we are working with centers on this massive debate between two very different frameworks for looking at art.
Yeah, the two sides are so interesting.
Totally. On one side, we have a humanist philosopher. And the humanist perspective is primarily concerned with the ethics of the image.
Like what the artwork says about humanity and survival, right?
Exactly, the relationships in the piece. But on the other side, we have a formalist critic. And a formalist isn't as focused on the emotional narrative. They care about the form.
The actual literal brushstroke.
Right, the texture, the medium, and how the physical creation of the piece impacts its ultimate meaning. And the formalist argument here is that the digital medium itself might actually be like betraying the artwork's tragic message.
Okay, let's unpack this.
Yeah.
Because before we can even debate the final aesthetic, we really need to trace where this image actually came from.
We do.
We have to look at its evolution from raw reality to the digital canvas. Because, I mean, this was not painted outdoors on the banks of some flooded river.
Oh, far from it. Angustia is a 15 by 22 inch piece that was gestated entirely inside a digital tablet.
Right.
But the seed of the image, the origin, was a raw, visceral photograph that the artist found just drifting in the endless ocean of the web.
So it started as a piece of real-world internet drama.
Exactly. And Duke pulled that raw photograph into his studio in Whittier, California.
Which is this quiet, physically safe environment.
Right. Thousands of miles away from whatever disaster originally spawned that photograph.
And this was long before the piece traveled to Athens, Greece.
Yeah.
You know, to be exhibited at Arbaxiandi Art in February of 2024.
Right. It went through this massive process of digital translation in that California studio first. And that physical and emotional distance is a crucial part of the artist's process.
How so?
While sitting in the safety of his studio, Duke begins to filter the visceral reality of the original photo. He, like, depures it.
He strips it down.
Yeah, he deliberately strips away all the geopolitical context.
Kind of makes me think of taking a chaotic, noisy piece of frontline war journalism, you know, like something with screaming and splashing water and blaring sirens, and pulling it into a completely soundproof editing booth.
Oh, that's a great way to put it.
Yeah, you shut the heavy door and suddenly there's just silence. You can isolate the audio tracks. You can completely remove the background noise.
Right.
But that brings up a really tough question for me. Does filtering the emotional noise of the world distill the tragedy down to its purest essence? Or does taking it into that soundproof booth risk sanitizing the trauma completely?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, Duke's deliberate choice to remove the surrounding noise was designed to force the viewer to look at one specific thing.
Just the subjects.
Exactly. By hiding the explicit details of the disaster, you are left with nothing to focus on except the tactile connection between the skin of the child and the skin of the animal.
Wow.
Yeah, the relationship between them becomes the entire world.
Which brings us to the core of what the humanist philosopher is so thrilled about in our sources.
Yes, the humanist take is fascinating here.
Because by stripping away the environment, you are forced to confront the dynamic between these two subjects. And if you look back at the history of art, animals in these types of situations usually get a pretty raw deal.
Oh, art history is incredibly anthropocentric. Humans are almost always the center of the universe. Like, think about the monumental rearing horses in a classical Velasquez painting.
Or those incredibly staged British aristocratic portraits, you know, with the hunting dogs just panting at their master's feet.
Exactly. The animals are basically biological tractors. They are tools of war, or they're accessories signaling wealth, or just hunting trophies.
They're entirely subordinate to the human ego.
But Angustia totally flips that script. The water buffalo is not a prop. It's not a beast of burden being commanded by a human.
Yeah, the humanist take points out that the buffalo is elevated to a co-protagonist. The sources actually call it a solidarity subject.
A solidarity subject. I love that term.
Right, it acts as a vital, living refuge for a human child at a moment when every single human-made system, like states, technology, infrastructure, all of it has completely failed.
And the artist achieves that subversion through a very specific atmospheric choice, which is total stillness.
Yes.
He completely pacifies the scene.
The stillness is honestly the very first thing you notice when you look at it. I mean, there is no violence splashing in the greenish water.
Right.
There are no raging currents trying to drag them under. There isn't an adult shouting orders from a riverbank or yanking on a bridle to force the animal forward. It is just this incredibly quiet, exhausted floating.
And that pacification is exactly what triggers the debate we are exploring.
Let me jump in with the critic's perspective for a second here.
Go for it.
Because without an active struggle, you know, without the crashing waves and the visible threat, the piece seems to lack tension. If the water just looks like a calm, tranquil pond, where is the life or death urgency? Doesn't the title Anguish require some actual visible anguish?
Well, the humanist philosopher counters that brilliantly. Consider the alternative, right?
Okay.
Imagine if Duke had painted this animal in a posture of fierce, violent struggle against a raging rapid. The buffalo's muscles are straining, water is violently splashing everywhere, and the child is gripping on for dear life.
Right.
What happens to the underlying meaning of the piece then?
I mean, it basically turns into a Hollywood action movie poster.
Yeah.
The animal just goes back to being a biological tractor.
Precisely the point. The buffalo reverts back to being a heroic beast of burden, fighting the elements to save the helpless superior human.
Oh, wow. I see.
Yeah, the stillness is the mechanism that demands empathy. By refusing to rely on the loud spectacle of a struggle, the artist forces you, the viewer, to lean in closer.
You really have to actively search for the trauma.
Right, you find it in the micro gestures.
Those micro gestures are haunting. Like, you can see how the sheer dead weight of the exhausted child's head is subtly deforming the dark, leathery skin of the buffalo's head.
It is so subtle, but so impactful.
They're literally melting into each other.
It shifts the entire focus of the artwork. Instead of showing you the adrenaline of the catastrophic event, it shows you the whisper of exhaustion after the trauma.
Right, because when the adrenaline finally evaporates after a disaster, what is left isn't screaming or thrashing.
No, it's often just total, quiet, paralyzing exhaustion.
I find that framing incredibly powerful, but
Wow.
this is exactly where we have to look at the medium itself.
This is where the debate gets really heated.
Yeah, because how does the actual software use to paint this image support or betray that delicate, quiet exhaustion?
Oh.
This introduces the formalist critique
Right.
because there is massive friction between the organic vulnerability of the subjects and the digital precision used to render them.
Yeah, the formalist critics refer to this as the trap of the tool. We have to analyze the specific technical capabilities of Procreate here.
Right, the app he used.
Exactly. When you are painting on a digital tablet, you have infinite zoom. You can zoom into a single pixel at 400% and mathematically perfect it.
Which is wild to think about.
And you have infinite layers. You have blending modes that calculate the exact mathematical average between two colors, which allows for absolutely flawless transitions of light.
And Duke clearly used those tools heavily. I mean, there is an almost celestial glowing aura around the child and the buffalo.
Yeah, there really is.
It visually separates them from the greenish background in a way that feels almost hyper-real.
And the formalist critique argues that this creates a sterile digital aesthetic. By achieving this excessively polished, antiseptic finish, the artist loses the macro picture of the trauma.
This is too perfect.
Right, the control is too surgical. The digital brush creates a surface that is so smooth and flawless that it feels detached from the gritty reality of the subject matter.
The sources made a pretty brutal comparison here. They likened this hyper-polished digital aesthetic to slapping a beautifying Instagram filter over a photograph of a disaster zone.
It is a really harsh critique.
It is, but it forces you to think about how we consume images today. We are so used to seeing everything smoothed out and color corrected.
Well, the core of the formalist argument is about material resistance. Look at the historical vehicles of human pain in classical art, you know?
Like who?
Painters like Francisco Goya or Francis Bacon, they painted horrific human suffering, but they used traditional oils on canvas.
Right.
And when you paint with oils, there's physical resistance. A stiff bristle brush dragging thick, heavy pigment across a rough canvas creates tangible imperfection.
It creates what the critics and the sources call phiismo, or ugliness.
Yes. The rough, textured, sometimes violent application of the paint visually mirrors the psychological pain of the subject.
Ah, I see.
The viewer's brain subconsciously registers the physical struggle the artist went through to push that paint around.
But because a digital stylus is just, like, a piece of plastic gliding effortlessly over a perfectly smooth glass screen, there's absolutely zero physical resistance.
Exactly.
So the formalists are saying that because the artist didn't have to physically wrestle with the medium, the resulting image lacks visceral, tactile pain. It becomes too safe and dilutes the tension.
Here's where it gets really interesting.
Wait, I actually want to push back on that formalist assumption.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, I understand the history of Francis Bacon and Goya, but who dictates that trauma always has to be ugly to be felt?
That is a very fair point.
Couldn't you argue that the extreme softness of the digital brush in this specific piece is doing exactly what it needs to do?
How do you mean?
Well, the digital blending highlights the immense vulnerability and fragility of the human skin against the heavy, dark mass of the animal. If the brushstrokes were violent, chaotic, and heavily textured like a Francis Bacon painting, we might completely lose the tenderness of that skin-to-skin contact.
Mm-hmm.
The tragedy here is the fragility, and the digital smoothness amplifies that fragility.
You are hitting on the fundamental tension of contemporary digital art right there.
Really?
Yeah. Does flawless precision enhance the subject by removing all visual distractions, allowing you to focus purely on the form? Or does it anesthetize the subject by making it so pretty that you forget you were looking at a tragedy?
Right.
This exact debate over digital perfection versus raw reality is perfectly mirrored in how Duke handled the environment surrounding the figures.
You mean the ambiguous background?
Yeah. Take a close look at the water in the image. It is a diffuse, greenish, aqueous mass.
Yeah, it's just kind of this void.
Exactly. There are no specific shorelines indicating where they are. There is no floating debris from a ruined city. There are absolutely no explicit indicators of danger anywhere in the frame.
Which completely divides our two camps again. Because the humanist side looks at that abstract green water and sees brilliant universalization.
Right.
By removing specific landmarks, street signs, or recognizable debris, this stops being a painting of one specific local flood on a map.
It becomes every climate exodus.
Exactly. It becomes a universal symbol of displacement.
Mm.
And mechanically, because there is no debris to look at, it forces the viewer's eye squarely back onto the tactile connection between the child and the beast.
There is literally nowhere else for your eye to wander.
Right. But then the formalist side looks at that exact same green water and draws the total opposite conclusion.
They do. They argue that by eliminating all visible danger, the need for refuge loses its urgency.
Mm.
If the water doesn't look threatening, if it just looks like a pleasant glowing green void, the image stops being a raw aesthetic experience. It crosses the line into illustration.
One of the critics said it looks like the cover of a neatly packaged essay on empathy.
Yes.
Or a polished poster for an NGO.
Yeah.
Like it becomes a pretty concept rather than a raw reality.
This raises such an important question. If the conceptual core of your artwork is about who provides refuge when the risk is shared, doesn't the risk need to be visually present in the artwork?
That makes a lot of sense.
Right. If the risk is entirely abstracted away into a smooth green gradient, the ethical question of survival becomes abstract too. It becomes safe to look at.
And honestly, the wildest part of this entire deep dive is that Jairo Duke, the artist himself, seems to have wrestled with this exact question.
Yeah, this debate isn't just critics shouting at each other from the sidelines of a gallery.
No. One of the most revealing pieces of the source material was Duke's own deep self-critique.
His reflections from that soundproof studio in Whittier provide just an incredible look into the creative process.
He honestly admitted that the software seduced him.
Seduced him?
Yeah, he confessed that the infinite zoom and the perfect blending tools pulled him down a rabbit hole of hyper detail.
Wow.
He spent his time mathematically perfecting the lighting on the child's skin and the texture of the buffalo. And looking back at his own finished piece, he acknowledged that the work might actually require further simplification.
He realized it after the fact.
Yeah, he even suggested it might need more visual tension in the water specifically to avoid being too illustrative. He fell into the trap of the tool, and he saw it after he was already in it.
What's fascinating here is his intense intellectual honesty.
Definitely.
I mean, it takes immense artistic maturity to look at your own finished piece, one that is already framed and hanging in a prestigious gallery in Athens, and publicly recognize that the digital medium ran the risk of sterilizing the pain.
Yeah, to admit that out loud is huge.
The fact that he can dissect his own formal decisions and articulate the exact friction points between his ethical intent and his digital execution is incredibly rare in the art world.
It proves that the studio in Whittier wasn't just a place to hide from the trauma of the outside world. It was a laboratory for processing it.
Beautifully said.
And even if the formula he used didn't yield a flawless result on the first try, the experiment itself forces us to ask massive questions about how we view art.
It absolutely does.
So what does this all mean? Let's bring this back to you, the listener. We started by talking about your daily routine.
Great, the scrolling.
That frantic, breathless pace at which you consume imagery on your phone. We are completely desensitized by the sheer volume of global trauma. And Gustia, regardless of whether you side with the formalists, who think it suffers from digital overpolishing, or the humanists, who believe it perfectly captures vulnerability, succeeds in doing one undeniable thing.
What's that?
It forces a pause.
It creates a visual sanctuary in the middle of the endless scroll.
It is a sanctuary that reminds us of a hard truth. When things truly fall apart, human fragility might not be saved by our modern technology. It might not be saved by complex state infrastructures or emergency rescue boats. It might just be saved by the instinctive grandeur and quiet solidarity of an animal.
That is a philosophical triumph that really transcends whatever software or brush was used to paint it.
I highly encourage you to seek out this image for yourself. Look up Angustia by Jairo Duque. Put your own reaction to the test.
Yeah, see what it brings up for you.
When you look at that flawless digital rendering, what do you actually feel? Do you feel the suffocating heartbeat of imminent risk and trauma beneath the surface? Or do you feel the consoling, maybe even overly safe, calm of a beautiful illustration? You have to be the final judge of whether the medium served the message.
And as you look at it, consider this final thought. We are living in an era where digital tools like Procreate are incredibly powerful.
Oh, yeah.
But generative AI is pushing that boundary even further, hurtling us toward flawless, infinite perfection in seconds.
It's a little scary.
It is. As our digital tools become increasingly capable of smoothing over every single rough edge of reality, will the artists of the future be forced to artificially engineer glitches?
Hmm.
Will they have to intentionally program digital ugliness or simulate the physical resistance of rough canvas textures just to prove to the viewer that the human suffering depicted in their art is actually genuine?
Will we have to intentionally fake the imperfections just to feel something real again?
Exactly.
It really makes you rethink the next time you are frantically scrolling what it actually takes to make you stop, put the phone down, and truly look.
A profoundly human question for an increasingly digital age.
Let that sit with you the next time you open up your feed. That is all for today's deep dive. We'll see you next time.